Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas warns Minister Kalousek and other members of his cabinet over approaching police investigators. Severe floods have hit the Plzeň region, and new data suggests a third straight month of contracting retail sales. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas is reported to have warned Miroslav Kalousek over an alleged telephone call made by the finance minister to Jiří Mazánek, a police investigator looking into alleged overpricing involving the purchases of the army's CASA transport planes. The planes were bought by Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova, who is currently under investigation over the controversial deal, which was also approved by Kalousek in his capacity as finance minister. Mazánek claims that in a recent telephone call, pressure was exerted by Kalousek over the matter of stripping Parkanova of immunity so that she may be fully investigated over the CASA affair. Kalousek has denied such lobbying for his colleague. PM Nečas has reportedly warned members of his cabinet to avoid contacting investigators at all in such situations, threatening dismissal for this offence. Severe flooding has hit the Plzeň region around the town of Klatovy in the southwest of the country after severe rains overnight. According to meteorologists, around 20 millimetres of rain was forecast to fall in the region. Most severely hit were the towns of Sušice and Klatov, with the Šumava and Křemelná rivers reaching a level 3 degree of flooding, while by morning the river Ostružina had also reached a lower level 2 degree of flooding. Firefighters in the area were forced to evacuate dozens of homes, with locals reportedly saying that they could not remember such severe rainfall in their lifetimes. Roads were flooded in Mochtin, Chlistov and Kolinets, and villages such as Bešiny remained impassable. So far, only one death, that of an elderly woman in Mochtin, has been reported. And several other regions, including Hradec Králové, southern Bohemia and Pardubice, were also hit by severe rains overnight. In the southern Bohemia region, a section of railway from Vyšší Brod to Rybník was blocked by rocks as a result of the downpour, while a road near the village of Přečín was made impassable by large levels of mud. Firefighters were called to around 30 incidents in all. In the Hradec Králové region, a person was reportedly hit by lightning but survived without serious injury, while numerous basements and homes were flooded. Additionally, a children's summer camp in Miskolezi had to be evacuated. In the Pardubicko region, firefighters also responded to numerous flooding incidents as well as a fallen tree in Brandice nad Orlicí. According to new data published by the Czech Statistics Office, retail sales in May fell by 2.1% year-on-year compared to a 4.2% fall in April. Initial forecast had been for a 3.5% fall. However, the data also represents the third straight month of decreasing sales in the country, amidst concerns that government austerity measures are leading to reduced demand and falls in household spending. Last week, the Czech National Bank cut benchmark interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point to 0.5% in a bid to boost the economy. And defending Wimbledon champion, the number 4 seed Petra Kvitová, has been knocked out of the tournament by former champion and number 6 seed Serena Williams. The straight sets win by Williams ended 6-3, 7-5 and took place in Wimbledon's centre court with the roof closed due to rain. Williams overpowered Kvitová with a series of high-powered serves, 13 aces up to 120 miles per hour. This is Kvitová's first Wimbledon defeat in 17 matches. And a quick look at the weather, skies will be largely overcast with some bright spells in the east of the country. Temperatures will range from between 24 to 28 degrees with some storms and showery spells and light winds. And that's the news for now.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Thomas McEncrow, and coming up in today's program, we follow a group of believers on their pilgrimage to Velehrad, ahead of the annual celebrations of St. Cyril and Methodius. And Jan Richter reports on the 15th festival of the famous Sokol movement that is now taking place in Prague. Later on, in Marketplace, Jan Richter will also tell you about an initiative aiming to trigger a debate on the country's role in the EU, and we'll end the show with our Czech lesson as usual. So stay with us. As the annual celebrations of the legacy of St. Cyril and Methodius approach, many believers are undertaking a religious pilgrimage to the historic town of Velehrad, where the missionary brothers Cyril and Methodius arrived in 863 to preach the gospel in the Slavonic language. One of those walking pilgrimages is on its way now. Having set off from the town of St. Hostin on Monday, Daniela Zareva has the story.
July 5th is a public holiday in the Czech Republic, marking the legacy of the two missionary brothers from Thessaloniki who influenced the cultural development of all Slavs by spreading the gospel in a language that the people could understand and bringing them literacy with a Cyrillic alphabet. The anniversary of their arrival to Velehrad is annually marked by a special mass celebrated out in the open for thousands of believers and broadcast live nationwide. Traditionally, some believers now make the annual pilgrimage to Velehrad on foot, setting out several days in advance from other pilgrimage spots in the country. One such place is the town of St. Hostín, with its famous Marian Basilica, where around 200 pilgrims heard Mass on Monday before setting out on the three-day journey to Velehrad. It is the only day of the year when the basilica fills with believers dressed informally in sports clothes and surrounded by backpacks with food and drink to sustain them on the near 60-kilometer journey. At the end of the Mass, the priest blesses the cross carried at the head of the procession. The journey has 25 stops for rest and prayer, and the pace is slow so that all participants can keep up. Maria Foštová says that while this is an annual pilgrimage for her, she had a special reason to make the journey this year. This is a sacrifice for my daughter who is seriously ill. I'm hoping that she will be cured and that this pilgrimage will bring health to my grandchildren and my whole family. Believers use the 3 days on the road to clear their heads of daily concerns, meditate, and reinforce their reserves of inner strength. The various pilgrimage processions from different parts of Moravia generally arrive at Velehrad on Wednesday, giving participants time to rest and prepare for the religious celebrations on the following day. In addition to the traditional Mass, which will be served by Cardinal Dominik Duka, there is the annual People of Goodwill concert, the proceeds of which go to charity. Meanwhile, plans are afoot to establish a European religious cultural heritage tour celebrating the legacy of Cyril and Methodius. Religious tourism has been gaining popularity of late, and officials in Zlín say they would like to win broad support for a tourist project tracing the movements of the missionary brothers on the continent as they established a spiritual and cultural link between the East and West. Councillor Jindřich Ondruš explains.
We do not envision it as a pilgrimage tour that people would undertake, but rather a loosely connected network of cultural and religious heritage sites where the brothers or their disciples were active. They set out from Greece, traveled through the Balkan countries, came to Velehrad and then moved on to Rome, where Cyril died. Their disciples were scattered throughout Central and Eastern Europe.
Z Velké Moravy zase působili v dalších středo- a východoevropských zemích.
Officials in Zlín are floating the idea of a European cultural heritage tour in 20 countries, including Slovakia, Hungary, Slovenia, Croatia and Italy. Initial reactions show that the concept has been well received and has won support both from the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches.
And that was Daniela Zareva with that report. Prague is hosting the 15th festival of the Sokol Athletics Movement, a gathering of around 20,000 members and supporters from at home and abroad. In the past, Sokol plays an important role in the Czech nation's emancipation, and its festivals, held every 6 years, were huge demonstrations of national unity. But today, the Sokols came to manifest their love for sports and exercise. Jan Richter reports.
Thousands of Sokol members exercised synchronically to music on the field of Prague's Eden football stadium on Tuesday, rehearsing for the highlight of the festival, a mass gymnastics performance by all age groups from small children to the elderly. The performances will take place on Thursday and Friday, and the rehearsal was a success, says Renata Zbořilová-Green, the president of Sokol Detroit in the United States.
I think it went quite well. I think that I think everybody will be very happy with the performance when they come and see it, and I hope we have a big audience so that everyone can appreciate what we've worked for so hard this year.
Sokol, which means falcon in Czech, is a movement which originated in the 1860s, fashioned after German gymnastic groups. Its festivals, known as sleti or flockings, were in the past major demonstrations of Czech national pride and sometimes of political opposition, like the one held in 1948, just months after the communist coup. The Sokol movement was revived after the fall of communism, and the festivals are now again held in the Czech capital, albeit in more modest settings than 60 years ago. Mrs. Bořilová-Green says it feels very special to be able to come to Prague for the occasion.
It is a tradition. Our heritage goes back many generations, and this is very special to us to be able to perform here in Prague.
This year, some 20,000 people are taking part in the event, including 2,000 Czech expats, says Vladimír Dostal from the organization's management.
We invited, of course, all Sokols from all over the world. It means mainly from the American Sokol organization, Sokol USA, which is something different, from Australia, from Serbia, Slovenia, and of course from the Western European countries, from Paris, München, of course, Munich, from Switzerland, from Austria, maybe I forgot some, but well, altogether they make about 2,000 participants coming from abroad.
Andrea from Switzerland is a member of Sokol in Luzern.
I'm third or fourth generation of Czech people in Switzerland, and it's been in my family. It's a tradition. It's a big event. Yeah, I like it. Everything that's around it too. It's very well organized, actually, because it's a big event. Yeah, it's well done.
The week-long festival included a march through the center of the city, a lantern procession up the Petrín Hill, and performances at various sites around Prague. But to experience the true spirit of the Sokol movement, people will have to come and see the mass exercises at the Eden Stadium.
Thanks again to Jan Richter. And so it seems that the organization that was founded on such grand ideas a century and a half ago is still going strong. Do its ideals still have anything to offer us today? What makes a Czech join Sokol rather than a gym? Write and tell us what you think. Our address is english@radio.cz. A reminder that you are with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for our main feature. An initiative by several Czech NGOs and members of the country's business community seeks to stir up debate about the Czech Republic's position within the European Union. The manifesto, entitled Confident Czech Republic in a Strong Europe, calls on MPs and government officials to ensure the Czechs remain at the core of the EU. In this edition of Marketplace, we talk to some of its authors and signatories and look at what impact, if any, the initiative might have on the Czech debate about the future of the European Union. Jan Richter continues.
At the end of the first day of an EU summit in Brussels last week, Prime Minister Petr Nečas told reporters not being a member of the Eurozone had several advantages, one of them being that officials from non-Eurozone countries could get a good night's sleep, while the others had to stay up. But the Czech Prime Minister had no answer when asked if it was a good thing to be left outside the room where decisions about the bloc's future were being made. This anecdote well illustrates the Czech government's attitudes to the European Union and its future. Along with the UK, the Czech Republic was the only EU member state to reject the fiscal treaty earlier this year, and members of the centre-right government are openly sceptical about the prospect of joining the Eurozone. That's what brought about the initiative, says one of its authors, Petr Lebeda, from the Prague-based think tank Glopolis.
Well, the initiative came as a reaction to the moves of the government that were steering Czech Republic away from the core of the European Union. And we have been discussing the discomfort that we feel about this move with colleagues in the civil society organizations, and also approach some people in the business to find out whether they feel same about this issue.
The manifesto claims that while European countries are trying to find a solution to overcome the crisis, the Czech Republic should act as a fair member of the community. Otherwise, Czechs would lose the most important thing in every health relationship, mutual trust. It would be doubly wrong, the authors say, to aim for a different direction in hard times than is the direction of our neighbors and the neighbors of our neighbors. Losing the opportunity to participate in key economic decisions would place the country on the democratic periphery of Europe. The initiative therefore seeks to start up a new debate about the country's future in the European Union. Petr Lebeda again.
We would like to come up with a more balanced description of the relationship between Czech and different groups of the Czech society towards the EU and really open the debate and intensify the debate so that it starts trickling up to the political representation and starts shifting slowly, I would say softly, the official position of the government.
The authors of the manifesto include 7 representatives of some of the best-known Czech NGOs, such as People in Need, Open Society Fund, Transparency International and the environmental group Hnutí Duha. The founder and head of People in Need, Šimon Pánek, explains his reasons for joining.
We feel sometimes that for the Central and Eastern Europe is for granted forever that we already joined the democratic part of the world, that we are safe, we have guarantees for the future. But in fact, the geopolitical, economical and other setups of the world are changing. And the Central Eastern Europe, in my opinion, has the best option to be safe and prosperous and democratic if it will be part of the core of the mainstream of the European Union.
Šimon Pánek, who was one of the student leaders of the 1989 Velvet Revolution before founding one of Europe's largest humanitarian organizations, says the Czech debate about the EU is too polarized and too vague and misses some crucial points.
You have hundreds of critiques of EU from different points of view, but very few people talking about the real benefits, about the improvements, about the quality of life, about the rule of law, about a lot of other things which are improving also thanks to the fact that we are member of the EU. So we will try to address the public and media with the appeal, let's be rational and let's talk more rationally, not ideologically, in the vague terms about what does it mean to be or not to be in the core European Union.
Besides members of leading Czech non-for-profit organizations, 7 business people supported the manifesto, which they signed as private persons rather than on behalf of their firms. But Šimon Pánek says numbers are not important.
The number, if we are talking in quantitative terms, of the signatories from business and from non-profit sector is the same. It's altogether 10-12 people. It's not the petition, so we will not rush for the quantity of the signatures. And we know that a lot of businesses are increasingly worried about what is the option if we will not be part of the core European Union after some time. And we hope that they will just join by discussing the things, putting it on their web pages, opening it with politicians, opening it in a chambers of commerce. We are in contact with a couple of chambers of commerce which are very interested in the more open and more professional debate about our future position. So, we believe that it will resonate in the business sector.
One of the business people who signed the appeal is Konstantin Kinsky, the managing partner of the consultancy firm Roland Berger and the head of the Czech-French Chamber of Commerce, who again supported the initiative as a private person. Mr. Kinsky says the current debate about banking regulation is a good example of why the Czech Republic should not stand aside.
How can a state, a government, a central bank continue to ensure that the banking sector, which is the heart of the economy in our country or in Poland, is stable and does what we need it to do to finance the growth of our economy? The only way that is left to you is regulation and the regulator. So if we isolate ourselves and do not participate in the debate as to how we construct a European-wide, consistent, coherent, efficient regulation system, which we need anyway, we will not be able to protect our own system. So we need to find the right balance between the role of the local, the national regulator, and the consistency and efficiency of the rules that impose us, that are imposed on the whole banking sector across Europe. That's just one example of why we should be at the heart of the debate.
As Prime Minister Petr Nečas and other Czech officials repeatedly noted, the question of the Czech Republic joining the core of the EU is directly linked to adopting the euro and thus joining the eurozone. Mr. Nečas says that right now this program would not win elections in the Czech Republic. But another signatory of the manifesto, investment banker Ondřej Jonáš, believes the country needs to make a stand regardless of the euro's future.
I don't mean to minimize the very serious issues that the core countries have to deal with. But so what? Even if the euro falls apart, somebody will have to pick up the pieces and reassemble a new entity along sensible lines. And the axis it will be assembled on will be Germany, France, Poland. We will not have the luxury of standing apart from whatever is put together, even if you assume the worst-case scenario that the euro, as we know it today, falls apart. In other words, what I worry about is the psychological attitude. This doesn't concern us. It's somebody else's problem. And we should go fishing. No.
The Czech debate about the country's future in the European Union has been dominated by the Eurosceptic voices around President Václav Klaus and his lasting influence on party politics, particularly on the Civic Democrats who run the current government. An editor of the weekly Respekt, Kateřina Šafaříková, says that's one of the reasons why the debate has been dormant in recent years.
The government actually is not saying what she really wants. Is that we only know that the government has been refusing vast majority of proposals that came from Brussels from the beginning of the euro crisis. So we know that the government is saying no, but we actually don't know what the government wants, to what the government would say yes. And so the debate is almost non-existent, it's vague, it's flat, it's boring. So what I see as the biggest problem is that there is not really lively, interesting and important debate.
The manifesto is not the first attempt to influence Czech politicians in their views of the European Union and the Czech position in it. For the first time, however, it has tried to win support by influential figures from the business sector. But none of the large firms or industry associations have backed it so far, which is why Kateřina Šafaříková says its impact will be very limited.
What I see as a sort of a weakness here is that it's a mere group of individuals and who actually represent only themselves, not really strong groups, say, behind them, be it companies, be it really influential think tanks. So I don't really think that this particular action can actually mean anything or can lead to a bigger debate that they're calling for.
The authors of the manifesto, entitled Confident Czech Republic in a Strong Europe, are planning to hold a series of debates and lectures to make their case. They also hope that a new impulse will come late this year during the campaign to elect the successor of President Václav Klaus, in which candidates will be also discussing their stances on the European Union and its future.
And now, in the final part of today's program, a Czech lesson from Pavla Horáková's popular ABC series, which Radio Prague is currently rebroadcasting.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we discuss words and expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková,
and we'll be looking at foreign influences and foreign cuisines in the Czech Republic. Before the fall of communism, there were only a handful of restaurants serving foreign food. For example, there was a Yugoslav restaurant, a Russian one, and a Chinese one in Prague. You couldn't even cook foreign food at home because the ingredients weren't available. In the mid-1980s, a Cuban and a Vietnamese restaurant appeared. But it wasn't until 10 years later that the Czech Republic experienced a boom in international restaurants, although the choice still can't be compared to countries which have a longer tradition of multiculturalism. The first to appear were Italian restaurants serving real Italian cuisine.
Italská kuchyně.
Mainly pizza.
Pizza.
And pasta.
Těstoviny.
Czechs have adopted the Italian word pizzeria but modified the pronunciation
pizzeria
to suit their tongues. Next came Chinese restaurants serving Chinese cuisine.
Čínská kuchyně,
which everyone refers to as
Čína,
literally China but meaning Chinese. There are also a handful of Indian restaurants with several varieties of
indická kuchyně.
You can also find Thai restaurants with traditional
thajská kuchyně.
And many Greek taverns serving
řecká kuchyně
or Greek cuisine. For example, the Greek pita sandwich, gyros, has become a very popular fast food meal. But let's not forget neighbouring Slovakia and the Slovak influences on Czech cuisine. Although Czechs and Slovaks lived in the same state for decades, their cuisines are quite different. While Czech cuisine has many German influences, Slovak cooking bears resemblance to Hungarian cuisine. The best-known Slovak meal commonly cooked in Czech families is
halušky,
the potato dough dumplings with bacon, goat's cheese or sauerkraut. And as we were talking about fast food, we mustn't forget the Hungarian
langos,
a deep-fried pancake from Hungary that is served with sweet or savoury toppings, garlic being the most popular.
Langos
became a very popular type of fast food in this country a couple of decades ago, having arrived via Slovakia. And that's all we can fit in today. Till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Thomas McEncrow saying thanks for joining us and take care.